Well, hello, my name is Elvin, and I am the campus pastor down at Christ Community Church, Sarpy, and I will be leading you through today's Project 4-4 Accelerator, March 1st, as well as the next few accelerators. So let's go ahead and jump right in. We got a few minutes here together, and today we continue reading through the laws of Moses, and in today's laws, we deal primarily with what we would call civil laws. Laws that deal with interpersonal relationships and how people interact and deal with one another. And we see in today's readings that God places a high value on interpersonal relationships and how people treat one another. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is having a conversation with an expert in the law, and the law expert asks him, "What must I do to gain eternal life?" And Jesus responds by asking him a question, saying, "What does the law say?" And he rightly responds by saying, "Love God, love your neighbor." God places a high value and takes seriously the command to love one another. Now consider the very first line of this morning's reading, where it says, "The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, when a man or a woman wrongs another in any way, and so is unfaithful to the Lord, that person is guilty and must confess the sin he has committed." Now notice how God equates sin against one another as unfaithfulness toward him. That's a big deal. Sin toward one another is unfaithfulness toward God. Now, that's important for us to know. There's a few more things that we should consider here in this morning's readings. One is that God's laws are not merely concerned with Israel corporately. Here's a nation in transit as they move from Sinai to the Promised Land. But he's not merely concerned with them corporately and giving them laws to prevent anarchy and to regulate human behavior. But he's concerned with them individually as well. He's concerned with the people of Israel corporately, and he's concerned with the people of Israel individually. You see this in Exodus 22, the bottom of page 268. You can read that yourself. How God makes a provision, puts a provision in place to protect young women from being taken advantage of by men who would seek a sexual adventure with them, making it essentially financial suicide for them to try to take advantage of these young women. Secondly, we see that God places people in two different categories, and he speaks directly to the person in the first category. He says that people are either in a position of influence, authority, and power, or advantage. Everyone is in a position of advantage over and above someone else in some areas of their life. Where are you in a position of authority, influence, and advantage at work, at home, in your community? Where's that at in your life? And he says that there are people who are less advantaged, people who are not in a position of influence or authority. And he addresses the first person in authority, the person with influence, the person in a position of advantage. And he says two things to that person in these laws. First, he says that you are not to use your influence to injure or harm another. He says it this way in Exodus 22, in dealing with a person with an animal, he says, if your animal is prone to aggression and you do not take the appropriate measures to protect people and property from your animal, you are responsible for that. It is not okay for you to risk others for the sake of self-preservation, even if that means if that animal is your means of livelihood, or your means of making a living. And so what's that say to us today? It means that if you're a businessman or businesswoman, how do you conduct yourself with your business? Are you okay with taking advantage of someone else simply for the sake of advancement in your business, of making a profit or getting that commission? That God takes seriously how you deal and interact with your neighbor in your business practices. Additionally, we see that God not only cares with how you use your influence and power with risking others or taking advantage of others, but he also says, he not only says don't use your power to take advantage of others, but he says use your power and authority to help protect the vulnerable and to lift up the poor. He says it this way. He provides laws regarding slavery. After a certain period of time, there's an opportunity for that slave to be released, preventing a legacy of slavery. Additionally, he provides laws regarding debt, and so that after a period of time, after 7 years, there's an opportunity for those debts to be forgiven. so that a family is not drugged down because of their father's or their forefather's debt. And God cares greatly about those things. Women were particularly vulnerable during this time. And God shows his care and concern with providing laws that would require those in their family and those in the community to protect them. For example, a father or a husband, being the person with the social capital to expend, needs to use that capital when his wife or his daughters are put into a position where they can be compromised morally, socially, financially. That when men would come in and take advantage of the family through the daughter or through the wife, that the man with the social capital in that time, that he would use that and expend that to protect his family. So these are the two people, the people with the haves and the people with the have-nots. Now, most of us reading this or watching this on the internet today find ourselves in the position of the haves. All of us are in a position of authority, influence, or advantage in some area of our life, at home, at work, in our community. Where are you in the position of advantage? That's a great question for you to consider this morning. And how we interact with one another says a great deal. Now remember that God says in his law, he says that when a man or woman wrongs another, it's equal to being unfaithful toward him. Your sin against another is equal to being unfaithful toward God. And you know, and that's what the law does. In Romans 7, Paul says that the law accomplishes two things. It communicates who God is and how perfect, good, and holy he is, as well as how short we fall of it. Romans 3:23 says it this way, that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. But the gift of God is that Jesus lived a perfect life. Jesus perfectly loved his neighbor. And that we can receive the gift of Jesus' perfect life, his death in our place, and the resurrection, and that where Jesus conquers Satan, death, and sin, and that's given to us. And so we can live in a way that honors God and is faithful toward God by loving one another. And so let me wrap up today by asking a couple questions as by way of application. Where are you in a position of advantage or power or authority? At home, at work, at play, in your community? Where have you used your position of influence and advantage to take advantage or for the sake of your self-preservation or self-advancement? And now considering, take a moment and considering that reality that you have taken advantage of others through your position of advantage. Take a moment and confess that sin to God right now. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. So go ahead and take a moment to do that now. And now, how can you use your influence, your authority, your advantage for the sake of others to lift up the poor, to protect the vulnerable? Most of us are in a position of advantage in some area of our life. And the question is, how can we use that position to benefit others, to the glory of God, and so that other people can experience him as well? God places a high value on how we treat each other. And so let's do the same. God bless.